Following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on March 1, 1992 in Boston.
I'll speak on a prayer or song written by Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur is a great Vaishnava who lived in the early 16th century and was follower of Lord Chaitanya. And he wrote many songs. These songs are called bhajans. So they're not, we use the word song in English, which can also mean the pop lyrics and many different things. So we can't really call his compositions songs, but bhajans. Ways of bhajan means worship of God. Now, up until the time of Narottam Das Thakur, any kind of religious literature like scripture or commentary on scripture in this Vedic tradition was done in Sanskrit language. So in addition to being spiritually qualified, one had to be a linguist to that degree to know the Sanskrit language. So it wasn't so accessible to common people. Narottam Das Thakur, however, he wrote his bhajans in simple Bengali language. So that was quite revolutionary at the time. And he was criticized by certain scholars and priestly people. But the actual devotional meaning of his songs is beloved by many, many people, including the most qualified spiritual masters. He made many disciples, and one acharya who came after him, who accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his spiritual master, was Vishwanath Chakravarti. And he himself, he's a great Sanskrit writer as well as in Bengali. But he said that the simple songs of Narottam are as good as Vedic evidence, meaning in spiritual discussion, if one wants to make a point, it has to be backed up by some evidence, or praman. And the evidence is scripture. Reasoning is done on the basis of scripture. So if you cite a relevant scriptural statement, then your own statement is supported. Just as in law, the lawyer makes a presentation and he backs it up with some law. So Narottam's songs in themselves, they're not scripture, they came from his heart, they came from his realization, but Vishwanath Chakravarti says they can be cited as good as Vedic evidence. These songs are also popular in today's Krishna consciousness movement, because our spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, he liked the songs of Narottam, he used to sing them, and he said, you don't even have to know the language, just as there's no language of thunder in the sky. It's a universal language. When it comes, it cracks your heart, or you become startled or afraid, impressed by thunder. So in the same way, the realized song or bhajan of Narottam Das Thakur, sung by a person who has also the devotional feeling, can crack the heart. The songs go direct, not by logical debate, but right to the heart. And in everyone's heart, there is a dormant love of God and spiritual personality. So this is awakened. I'll read the bhajan. There's four verses. I'll read the Bengali
and then the translation and make a few comments. We won't be able to get the full spirit of it in our English language, but we'll get something, and that will be something wonderful. This is from his collection called Prarthana. It's called Ishtadevi Vigyapti, a prayer to one's beloved Lord. Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gonainu Manusya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Nabajiya Janiya Shunya Bisha Kainu. Translation: O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. Twice he says, Hari Hari. That's not the same as when we chant Hare Krishna. As you see spelt, that's H-A-R-E. Hari, H-A-R-I, is one of the many names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descriptive name, O Lord Hari. So Hari, one of its meanings in Sanskrit is he who takes away, just as a thief takes away from you your possessions. So Hari, he takes away not things that are actually good for you, but he does, if one approaches him, he takes away inauspicious things. And he gives you liberation. So this is the name of God. But he's calling. And the spirit is, there is in this song the spirit of lament. In many songs of Narottam Das Thakur, this mood is there. Of course, we read in Bhagavad Gita that spiritual life is joyful. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakanchati. A person actually understands the spiritual nature, he becomes joyful and doesn't lament, does not hanker. And in the Vedanta Sutra, it is also stated, the nature of a living being is anandamaya, vyasa, blissful. Then why is Narottam Das Thakur lamenting? This is also a kind of spiritual ecstasy. But aside from that, the internal mood of the devotee, wherein even lamentation is transcendental ecstasy, we can take it that for a conditioned soul to not take to God consciousness is certainly unfortunate. But most people, they don't lament about that. We lament that we don't have enough money, or we lament about material things. If we realized how valuable our inherent spiritual life is and how we are wasting our life, that would be a different kind of lamentation. If we could begin to regret that loss, that would actually be good for us. That would be purifying. It would also lead to seriously taking up spiritual life, which would lead to the blissful life of freedom, eternal life, life of bliss and knowledge. So Narottam Das Thakur is accepted as a liberated soul, but on behalf of humanity and that of his own humility, he is lamenting that he has not loved the beloved personality of Godhead and his eternal consort, Radha Krishna. This is stated, I have spent my life uselessly. I got a human birth, but I didn't worship Radha and Krishna. Now, not to be taken for granted that we have a human birth. The human beings are a very small percentage of living beings on the planet and in the universe. So according to the science of transmigration of the soul, it's rare that one can evolve up to the human form of life. And the specialty is, in this rare form of life, you have the expanded consciousness to understand God and get liberation from birth and death. And that's ultimately done through bhakti, loving God and then going to where he is, in the spiritual world. And if you fail to do that, then you come back again into the material life. So it appears that he's praying as someone who has is perhaps near the end of his life, or at least is considering that much life has passed and he has wasted his life. Of course, this can come at any time. It can come when one is young, or it can come when one is old. So how now to express what a waste this is? He gives a strong example. I've knowingly drunk poison. He doesn't just say, I've drunk poison. We can drink poison perhaps accidentally. But if you know, yes, this is poison, let me drink it. This is suicide. Radha Krishna na bhajiya. I didn't worship Radha Krishna. And my life is useless. Golokera premadana. Hari nam sankirtan. Rati na janmilo kene tai. Samsara bishanale. Diba nishe hi ajwale. Juraite na koinu upai. This is the second verse. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. This is a verse in particular about chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So we can chant alone on beads, as we do in our japa mala, or as we were doing a kirtan. So he refers to Harinam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name in congregation. And he says, Golokera Premadana. Goloka is the name of the spiritual planet, Krishna's abode. So we are not in Krishna's planet, although this is also within the energy of God. In that sense, it's God's planet. Every planet is God's planet. But this is in his inferior energy. He doesn't stay here with his liberated associates in his rasa pastimes. But this is like a condemned portion for those who want to act as if they're God themselves. It's a place of death and suffering, and a place of potential reform and happiness. So it's a very, the earth planet, from the Krishna conscious point of view, of this, or the point of view of evolution of the soul, is very crucial. It is full of advantage, but especially in this age, that advantage, when neglected, the planet becomes a place of hellish suffering. So he says that the treasure of prema means love of God. That's another one of those words. We don't unnecessarily collect these Sanskrit words into our vocabulary, but for some of them, there's no English equivalent. Like we say love in English, we use the word love so widely, whereas actually many times it just means lust, and it means something sentimental, and it can also mean something very wonderful. But in Sanskrit, those concepts are separated, and they're different words. So they wouldn't use the word love for love of God. So what we call, when love is actually lust, then the word is used kama. And when the love means, when you're talking about love of God, it's a different word, prema. The difference is that prema, the devotee who is loving God, actually desires that that God be pleased by the devotee's actions. The devotee wants to make God happy. God is happy, but the devotee wants to please him by his own activities. All acts of religion are not prema necessarily. If you approach God and you want something in return, that's not prema. But when you actually attain the stage of loving Krishna, that's prema. And that's a gift from God also. So in kama, or the lust form, you may say that you love a person, or you do something to help a person, but you want ultimately gratification for yourself. And that's missing in prema. One simply wants to please Krishna. So he says that prema comes from Goloka in the form of God's holy names. This is very wonderful. The names Hare Krishna, the singing of Hare Krishna, it doesn't start from down here in the minds of people, concocted, vibrated as ordinary sounds, although it may seem like that. But when chanting is done sincerely, Krishna himself comes in the form of his name from Goloka to here, Golo, and he just... He descends and distributes prema. So although this is so wonderful, the Harinam Sankirtan is coming from Krishna Loka, I am again very unfortunate because I am not attracted to it. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Rati means to taste in spiritual life. Rati na janmilo kene tai. I didn't develop the rati. Again, the regret, the lamentation for unfulfilled spiritual aspiration. So he doesn't give a whole dissertation here as to why one might practice chanting and not attain rati, or taste, or prema, or love. But that information is given in another place, in Lord Chaitanya's 8 verses called the Shikshastakam. He prays in one verse. In a similar way, he glorifies first the names of Krishna. He says, Krishna's names are very accessible. They're so easy to take to. And Krishna, he says, this is the only way to attain you in this age. Therefore, you have many, many names, such as Krishna and Govinda and other names. You have kindly made approach to you easy by your holy name. You have invested all your energies in your holy name. But unfortunately, I am not attracted to your holy names, because I commit offenses when I chant. So if one chants, but at the same time commits Vaishnava aparad, or Vaishnava offenses, such as blaspheming other devotees or offending other living beings by acts of violence, and so many other offenses that are mentioned, then the chanting will not develop into love of God. Any chanting is very good, but to get the full effect, one has to chant without offenses. So he's lamenting that he has not developed attraction. And he says it's because I am very worldly, and as a result of being worldly, I suffer. Bengali verse was sometimes translated into a rhyming verse. And it says, the chanting of Hare Krishna comes straight from Krishna Loka, but with chanting I have no connection. Day and night I am burning in this dark world without seeking to make the correction. So, this is his explanation. I'm so intent on my karmic activity of working in this world, passionately driven by the modes of nature to work and to enjoy, and this is my life, and I've neglected spiritual life. So even if I take to the chanting of Hare Krishna, it's too late for me. I have no taste. This is my condition. Hari Hari Vipale. Then he says, looking at the third verse, Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hailo Se Balarama Hailo Nitai Dinahina Jati Chilo Harinama Udarilo Tara Sakshi Jaghai Madhai. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Braja, became the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jaghai and Madhai, are evidence of this. So in these simple stanzas, he packs in so much information and rasa of Krishna Leela and now Lord Chaitanya Leela. I think many of you know of the descent of Krishna as described in Vedic literature. 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared in Vrindavan as the original personality of Godhead, and he had his pastimes with his associates, like his mother and father, Nandi Yasoda, the cowherd boys, Balaram, and the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. And he left these glorious pastimes, which are recorded in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and other places. And he left his instructions in Bhagavad Gita to surrender to him. But then, in the course of time, as Krishna's instructions were neglected, as his pastimes were forgotten, Krishna decided to come again only 500 years ago, but this time not in his original form as Godhead, personality of Godhead, but as the pure devotee of God. But he was actually Krishna, and that's Lord Chaitanya. So there's an exact correspondence with the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with his previous pastimes when he came as Krishna. When he came as Lord Chaitanya, he came with many associates, and they're the same persons who appeared before, but now they have different personalities. So for example, with Lord Chaitanya was his eternal brother, who's known as Lord Nityananda. And on the altar, on the left-hand side, we have the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So actually, formerly, they were Lord Krishna and Balaram. And this is what he's saying here. Lord Krishna, who is the son of Nanda, became Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they had a mission to deliver the chanting of the holy name. And the holy names are actually names of Radha and Krishna. O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. The holy names are intimately connected with the worship of Radha Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya came to deliver this. And then he says, in this preaching mission, they gave the holy names to even lowly persons. They didn't discriminate that only a very advanced or religious person should get it. If somebody is sinful, he should not get it. If somebody is not in the right caste or the right race or religion, he should not get it. No, they didn't discriminate. They gave very freely. And the proof of this, he gives some proof of two persons, two sinners, Jaghai and Madhai. They were great sinners. They also were given the holy names. So the implication here is that although Jaghai and Madhai were given the holy names, I didn't get them. So I must be worse than them. And they were great criminals, and murderers and everything else. But they were given the holy name by Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So the holy name has this power, this potency. Srila Prabhupada used to say that in Lord Chaitanya's time, those were pious days 500 years ago in India. And now Kali Yuga is much degraded everywhere in the world. The population is not pious. But so now it was rare at that time to have people like Jaghai and Madhai in society. But now there are many thousands of persons like Jaghai and Madhai. But the Hare Krishna movement is delivering many Jaghais and Madhais. Now this third verse, the expression of being fallen and having missed out on the greatest thing in life is not as strong. It's more emphatic is the glorious descent into this world of the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya and his ability to save sinful persons. So although I said there's an implication that he missed out, whereas Jaghai and Madhai got the blessing, that's not stated explicitly. And you could also take it that in this verse there is a note of hope that if these brothers were delivered, then there's hope for me too. Because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. So Lord Chaitanya is the key in the hope for the hopeless person. who has wasted his human form of life, now Lord Chaitanya is making it very easy to take to spiritual life. Because Lord Krishna, he didn't teach so directly to chant the holy names as Lord Chaitanya did. He didn't make it as easy to surrender. He made a prerequisite that sarva dharmam parityajanam amekam saranam braja. You surrender to me, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishami masucha, and then I will relieve you from all sinful activities. But Lord Chaitanya doesn't say, first surrender to me. He just says, please take the chanting of Hare Krishna. Jaghai and Madhai, please chant. Jaghai and Madhai, they attacked Lord Nityananda, and they threw a broken pot on his head, and he began to bleed. Because all he did, he approached them and he said, please chant Hare Krishna. He didn't go to them and try to chastise them for their sinfulness. He just said, please chant Hare Krishna. But they were so drunk and angry with him, they hit him. He was bleeding, and he said, that's all right that I'm bleeding, but again I request you, chant the holy name. So this display of his humility and tolerance, it convinced one of the brothers, and then Lord Chaitanya came and delivered them both by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by Lord Nityananda's merciful intervention. So that's how kind he is to distribute the holy names. Without any, you don't have to have any prerequisite pious acts. So this, in this third verse, there is a sign of hope. And now we'll read the last verse. Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta Brishabhanu Suta Juta Koruna Koroho Ebaro Narottama Dasakoi Na Teliho Rangopai Toma Bine Ke Acha Amar. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? So this is the direct request for the mercy of the Lord by the sincere devotee who puts himself helplessly as unqualified as a sinful person before God and asks him, please accept me as I am, please lift me up. If you don't, then what can I do? I've accepted you as my only savior in life, and yet I fail to do that because I'm so sinful. So don't push me away. You're my only hope. This is not play-acting, these songs. They come. His whole life is dedicated to serving Krishna, loving Krishna. They're all realized statements of experience. And he shares with us his heart's feelings. And if a little bit of it can rub off on us, we'll be very fortunate and we'll try to follow him in this kind of prayerful life to Lord Krishna. And so he resolves the song and the lamentation. Because everything doesn't depend just on my disqualification. My disqualification isn't as great as God's mercy. But one has to ask for that mercy in the form of asking for service to Krishna. And that is what he's doing. One can explain this too much. They're not meant to be forever explained. It is the poetry and the heart's expression is there already. But just to purify ourselves, we try to enter the meaning and share it appreciate Narottam Das Thakur's wonderful contribution. Hare Krishna. So, maybe some of these points, I've raised some questions, or if you'd like me to try to further explain it, we can try to answer some questions now. Anyone have any comments or questions about this song? Yes.
Who's the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur?
He had a number of spiritual masters. One of them who first initiated him was Lokanath Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur, he was born in Bengal, and then he actually accepted Lord Chaitanya as his spiritual master, although Lord Chaitanya had already passed away from the world. But he accepted Lord Chaitanya in his heart, and Lord Chaitanya in a vision told him to go to Vrindavan to associate with great devotees there. So Narottam went there, and there he met among the Vaishnavas, he met many great Vaishnavas, but he had asked for initiation by Lokanath Goswami. So in his songs, bhajan, sometimes he expresses a prayer to the spiritual master, Lokanath. But then he was initiating spiritual masters. Then he accepted, one can have many spiritual masters. They're called Shiksha Gurus. So he also learned from some of other great Shiksha Gurus who were living in Vrindavan at that time. He learned from Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. Question is based on, there's an instruction. I was mentioning that one should chant Hare Krishna without offenses. So there's a list of offenses, and one of them is one should not instruct the glories of the holy name to faceless persons. So, but here the example is that Jaghai and Madhai, they were given the holy names. They appeared to be faithless. So how do you know when, how does a preacher or a devotee know when to instruct a person and when not to? One thing is we can't always take on such demons or sinners that took combined force of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they went in first. And then Lord Chaitanya had to come. We can't always imitate and try to deliver such highly inimical persons. A person who wants to distribute the holy names has to be tolerant, because people will object and oppose. So he has to be as tolerant as a tree. And that preacher, he's called a middle-class devotee, Madhyamadhikari. And he's advised to make distinctions among people. And the greatest person in his life is the personality of Godhead Krishna. He loves Krishna. He makes friends with devotees. And then the important distinction is innocent persons he approaches, and demoniac persons he avoids. So that's the basic distinction. Persons who may be ignorant of Krishna, who may be very worldly, who may be sinful, but are not don't have a strong predisposition against God and against devotees, they would be considered innocent. And persons who just on the mention of the name of God became fiery, become blasphemous, then how can you go on to try to tell them, no, my dear sir, please take the holy name, and then he'll curse at you, curse at the holy name. Then he becomes implicated in offense, and you're making him offend, not making him, but you're leading him to offend God by leading him on, so to speak, in your attempt to preach to him. It just makes him worse and worse. So you should, and then you become unfit to preach also. Unless you are very empowered, and if you can do such a thing, but it shouldn't be imitated. So it has to be in one sense an individual thing. But even Lord Chaitanya, he grew up and was preaching in Bengal, but the people there, they were very sophisticated and in logic and skeptical, and it was unfavorable for preaching. So he went elsewhere. He went on a tour of South India. And Prabhupada says, a preacher wants to go where the preaching is favorable. So certainly we prefer to approach innocent people rather than the demoniac people. But sometimes you may do that also. Because everyone is got some demoniac propensity as well. So he has to take some risk. Well, as you say, it's easy to chant, although for some it's not easy to chant. Well, just consider that. Obviously, it's easy to say those words, Hare Krishna, but for some people, why is it hard? Because they have some mental block of false ego, or they're prevented from doing what is actually easy. Now that can also be due to sinful activity in past lives. So even the what is certainly easy, the chanting which you mentioned, even that can be hard. But Krishna prasadam, that's very easy. And you'll hardly find, although you will find people also who will think they don't want to take that food. But then there are other things that are required that are hard, such as giving up intoxication, meat eating, gambling. So illicit sex. Krishna, he wants us to completely surrender so that he can give us himself. The ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is love of Krishna, service to Krishna. So Krishna gives himself, but he won't give himself until you give yourself. So we have the attachment to the body and to things that we think belong to us. And since ultimately we're meant to surrender everything and use it in Krishna's service, it's hard to give up all these conceptions. This is one way to answer your question, that the easy parts are easy, the Krishna consciousness, but there's more to it. And eventually, when you become a serious devotee, you realize that just to once in a while chant Hare Krishna and to sometimes eat prasadam, that's certainly easy, but in itself, I need more acceleration to really develop. Other than that, when I chant Hare Krishna once in a while and I eat prasadam once in a while, and most of the time I'm doing what Narottam says here, my heart is burning day and night in the fire of worldliness, then I won't make rapid advancement. So then I should perform a little austerity to try to do more. And in this age, even that austerity is not so great. It's not that when somebody becomes serious, we tell them, now we'll tell you the secret of the Hare Krishna movement. You actually have to go and live in a cave in the Himalayas and give up everything. Are you ready? But it's not that. You just have to give up illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. You know that story Prabhupada said that one of his godbrothers went to England and there was an earl, the Earl of Jutland, and he was interested in Indian philosophy, so he asked the sannyasi, I heard you said that you could make us Brahmins. And the Swami said, yes. What do we have to do to become a Brahmin? He said, you have to give up this illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. And the Earl of Jutland said, impossible. So it is like saying go and live in the cave in the Himalayas. But if you try to do these things, it's not so hard. I guess that's the heart of the question again. It's just we who are doing that, we don't think it's hard, rather we think it's a higher taste. We wouldn't eat food that's not offered to Krishna. We're not interested in illicit sex, which will lead us away from Krishna's service, and make our hearts impure. We're not interested in intoxication. So it's mostly a mental thing that makes it seem difficult. And then for us, we may be following these four rules, but there's more surrender that we have to do, and that seems difficult to us. I can't do that. I can follow these four rules, but I can't do more. But then if we would do that more, then we would think, well, that was easy. Oh, this is blissful. Why didn't I always do that? Why was I waiting so long? And that's what Narottam is saying. Why am I wasting my life? Please, Krishna, give me your mercy. I can't give up these last things, my lack of surrender. Why is it, it's your question, why is it so hard? It's just our mental conception of what is hard or what is desirable. We laugh now to think that it was hard to give up smoking cigarettes or something. I thought it was hard. Now I wouldn't do it. So what's remaining to be done, that seems very hard. But it's just our mental thing. If we get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, there's that verse. If you can remember Lord Chaitanya, then difficult things become easy. If you forget him, then easy things become even difficult. To remember Krishna is very easy to do the austerities. They're not seen as austerities per se, like some kind of self-inflicted punishment. It's just doing things to please Krishna, whatever is necessary, and it becomes happiness to do it. Even if there's apparently some trouble, because you're doing it out of love for Krishna, the trouble is even happiness.